Welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be charging through Perek Tes, the ninth chapter of Sefer Shoftim. This is going to be one of the saddest parakim we're going to have read in Nach up till this point. This is really one of the as Shoftim is degenerating. This is really on the way downwards. So we left off where Gideon has had 70 sons, one son from a Pelegesh whose name is Avimelech. And he dies. And now, you know, usually when you leave that amount of power to so many people, that doesn't always work out. So in fact, that's what happens. Avimelech, the son of the Pelegesh, of the concubine in Shechem, turns to all the people in Shechem and he says, look, why would you want to have a democratic leadership? Why would you want to have 70 kids leading you? Why don't you have one person leading you? And they were swayed by his oratory skills. And they said, yeah, no worry. And they funded his program and he started renting, you know, low lives. When he takes his low lives and goes up to Ophrah, which is where his half-brothers are, and he goes and kills all 70 of them on one stone. And the only one who escapes is a brother called Yotam, which of course relates to the word Yotom, which means orphan. Nonetheless, he's the only one who escapes the wrath of Avimelech. In the meantime, all the Balei Shechem, all these people from Shechem, who obviously are the kinsmen of Avimelech, because the Pelegesh is from the city of Shechem. Of course, it's not lost on us that Shechem is the place where the tribes always diverge, where Yosef was sold, where Dinah was raped, where the future kingdom of Rechab and Yerovam is split. There's a lot of splitting going on in Shechem, but it's also the brethren of Avimelech, and they now make him as the local king. Now, clearly, it doesn't seem like it's a king over all of Israel, but certainly over this mainstay area over here, it sounds like they're making Avimelech the king. This is the first person to rule in the place of his father after him in Tanakh, which is also a very important statement. At this point in time, Yotam, who is now the surviving, legitimate son of Gideon, gets up on a far-standing hill and he screams out the following message to the Balei Shechem, and he says, look, the trees wanted to find a king, so they went to the olive tree and they said, you should be our king. And the olive tree says, no, I'm too busy with producing my beauty for people. I don't have time to rule. Then the trees went to the fig tree and they said, you should be our ruler. And the fig tree says, no, I'm too busy producing my beautiful and delicious harvest to spend time ruling. And then the trees went to the vine and said, you should be our ruler. And the vine says, no, I'm too busy producing wine, which helps out, which makes people merry. So finally, the trees all went together to the thorn bush and said, you should be our king. And the thorn bush said, if you really want me to be your king, then yes, I will be. You can enjoy my shade. And if not, a fire will leave me and destroy even the great cedars of Lebanon. Very strange marshal. And then he explains himself and he says, if you really wanted Avimelech truly, people of Shechem, then yes, he'll be your king. But if not, a fire will leave him and consume you, and will consume him too. And he ran and fled into exile. That was the speech of Yotam. Just quickly, just to figure out, there's like a lot of metaphors that he's using over here. The Mefarshim struggle with who he's talking about. Rashi says that the olive, fig, and vine might be referring to the first three well-guarded Shoftim, Osniel, Devorah, and Gideon, who we talked about. And now the thorn bush, of course, is Avimelech, who's going to create a self-destructive process to the people he's leading. That's maybe the message he's saying. The Malbim says it's something more like that. It sounds like the other leaders might be a spiritual leader, a physical leader, or a wise and sweet leader. And he sort of characterizes different types of leaders who seem to be too concerned about their own lifestyle more than actually leading the people. So that's the kind of picture we're getting over here. Nonetheless, it's very clear that Avimelech is clearly the thorn bush. Is going to be a self-destructive process over here. It is, of course, interesting to us that Avimelech is following suit to certain, like, you know, echo of Gideon. Gideon is the one who used the thorn bush to rake the skins of the people of Sukkot in last chapter. So there is an interesting throwback to over here, how Avimelech is sort of taking the worst aspect of who Gideon was, and that's who he's being characterized as. Okay, we move on. So what happens is, in the meantime, Avimelech keeps his power, and he reigns for 3 years. And then what happens is that a rift does occur between him and the people, and the narrator tells us it's in order to fulfill Hashem's word, for the revenge for what he did for to his half brothers. So these people start producing anarchy. They start setting up highway robbery on the roads, probably something which Avimelech himself encouraged at the beginning in order to create his rebellion, so those people sort of rebel against him. So it's into this mess that a fellow called Gaal ben Eved and his brothers comes to the people of Shechem, and he says, guys, why are you so interested in serving Avimelech? Like, who's Avimelech to rule us? And they all say, sit down and drink, and they say, yeah, they curse Avimelech, and they say, yeah, we're gonna listen to you. So they kind of switch their allegiances very, very fast. They sort of go under the banner of Gaal. But in the meantime, Zavul, who seems to be this fellow who's the general of the city of Shechem, says to Gaal, that's not the right thing to do. You can't do that. So he sends off secret messages to Avimelech, who's in a nearby city called Sarma, and he says to Avimelech, I'm gonna lure Gaal, who's leading the rebellion against you, out of the city, and you should be ready for him in the field to take him. So that's exactly what happens, and he lures him out and tells Avimelech. Avimelech is lying in wait in the field with four different legions around them. It's early morning, and then Gaal looks out, and Zavul says, go out into the field. And Gaal says, he says, are those the woods approaching? Do I see something approaching? And he says, no, it's don't worry about it. It's the hills you're seeing. And Gaal says, it seems like something's coming up in that direction. And then Zavul turns to him and says, yes, did you rebel against Avimelech? Well, now you're going to face him. And there's a war which ensues at the gate of the city. Gaal is chased. Many people are killed. And Avimelech takes possession of the outside area of the city. And the conquest continues. And the next day he lays siege to Shechem and all the people who are fighting against him. Avimelech divides his war into three separate groups, like he did in the times of his father, like Gideon, dividing the people into three heads, and he takes the city down and destroys it, and kills everybody and salts the city. So he completely destroys the bastion of rebellion, which was actually his bastion of power at the beginning. At this point in time, everybody retreats into an area called Migdal Shechem. It's the Tower of Shechem, and what Avimelech does is he cuts down a huge piece of tree and he grabs it on his shoulders and he says to everybody, do exactly what I'm doing. Sounds like an echo of what his father used to say, as I do, you do. And he puts these pieces of wood around the tower, and he lights them up and burns everybody in the tower, killing over 1,000 people who are men, women, and children who are locked in the tower, destroying the last bastion of the city. Then Avimelech goes on and he approaches the city called Tevet, so he's trying to conquer it, and he conquers the city, and they also had a stronghold of a tower there, and he does the same sort of methodology, starts trying to get the tower burnt. But while this is happening, there's a woman who's in the top, the top of the tower, and she drops a stone down the tower, and it hits him on the skull, crushing him. And as he's dying, he turns to his one of his lads and says to him, kill me, so that people shouldn't say I was killed by a woman in battle. And he dies, and as he dies, everybody returns to their place, and the curse of Yotam comes, because of course here is the fire which leaves the Baalei Shechem, which hurts Avimelech, and vice versa, he hurts them back. There's burning on both directions, like the fire that he was burning their towers, and he ultimately dies in the midst of this very, very sad area. Just a few things just to notice quickly as we're looking at this perek. Of course, where did Shakespeare get the quote in Macbeth from? Macbeth shall never vanquished be until great Birnam Wood to hide Dunsinane Hill shall come against him, and the approaching woods of Birnam approaching. This is obviously clearly out of this chapter in Tanakh about the approaching woods and not seeing or misseeing what's approaching, the lying trap is clearly from here. But on a deeper level, there is a lot of interesting things that you have. First of all, you see this volatility of the people. The people don't have any sense of loyalty to Avimelech. They sway towards him, they sway away from him in just the same way. We see a lot of echoes of Avimelech's in Avimelech here, of what Gideon used to say, but in negative ways. So the three heads of his army, but now they're doing it to destroy and kill Jews. Gideon killed Jews for the sake of his own of we'll call it national interests. Here Gideon's killing Jews not necessarily for national interests, because of personal interests, which is where this is going awry. We see the notion that Gideon actually destroyed the tower of Penuel and killed the people because of a national interest. Here Gideon is destroying towers and killing people and burning people for a personal interest, for his personal power, rather than the national interest of the king. This is himself, self-survival, which is continuing to be over here. And this brings about the final curse. It is also interesting that in a bigger perspective over here, he kills, as Tanakh tells us, his 70 half-brothers on one stone. And of course, it is the stone which crushes his skull as he dies. As Mishlei says in Perek Chof Vov, Kore Shachas Boyupol, very famously we know, a person who digs a pole shall a pit shall fall in it. The second half of the pasuk is less known, which is V'golel Evan Elov Tashuv. A person who rolls a stone, the stone will roll back to them. And that's really referring to what happened over here. You want to kill people on a stone, the stone will roll back onto you. And this ends the story of Avimelech, the ill-fated Avimelech. It is interesting to know that nobody comes out now and crowns Yotam. Nobody continues the line. The we'll call it the experiment or the monarchy has ended for the time being, and now we return to Shoftim. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.